It's an immense pleasure to have Johnny Layer here, a partner of the Brussels-based architectural practice Traumnovelle, which he founded together with Leon Drapeau and Manuel Leon Fanjul. I'd be interested in hearing from Johnny why Superstudio is relevant for him and his practice, and in what sense is Superstudio contemporary? Contemporary for someone like you, who was not even born when Superstudio dissolved. Welcome, Johnny.
Thanks a lot. At first, I would say that contemporary in architecture, it's a very, very weird and strange word, because architecture is this element or tool playing with time, and some old ideas are more relevant now than before, and the opposite is also true. Few years ago, we did this lecture that was called Boredom and Revolution. It was for students, in which we made some kind of journey that started with Jean-Jacques Lecoeur, the French revolutionary architect in the 18th century, to Superstudio in the 60s, with this also this revolution of students, and to the Russian paper architects in the 80s. And what interested us is that all of them were somehow trying to be to take part to this big movement with the architectural tools, but were maybe failing or were trying their best. They had a lot of doubts about how architecture should behave, or what is the role or the position of an architect facing social crisis. And Superstudio was specific because they had doubts, and they were explicitly assuming the doubts, and they had different visions that were really contradictory. I think that in terms of the topic that they address, like technology, like freedom, or I don't know, how to make or how to do a society, it's of course still relevant. And on that point, we have to keep in mind is that it's also the period in which we had the first real understanding of the human consequences on the planet that are still there. And all the texts and ecology that we have are still from that period. So yeah, it was yesterday, but at the same time, it's still now. And if I can add something, I discovered Hermann Hesse a few days ago, and I was shocked. At first, it's my favorite author now, and I was also fascinated by how I found some kind of echo with the work of Superstudio as I understand it. Because, so in the novel Demian by Hesse, it's this kind of journey of a young child that has doubts about life, that had to deal with the environment, but also with his inner self, and a combination of big wars happening around him, but also big hopes, and trying to find a position about where to be. But it's a book about accepting to doubt, but also that the world is not either black or white. It's way more complicated. And I think that this idea that the world is a mix of this black and white, or bad or good things, is something that Superstudio worked a lot. And this idea to always stay critical and to always have doubts.
I think it's interesting in this respect that you took Superstudio and their practice and thoughts as a conceptual starting point or base for your upcoming ArchiWeek program that will take place in June in Brussels. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a bit your approach and the role that Superstudio plays within it?
Yeah, sure. To give a bit of context, so the ArchiWeek is this intense week of events and guided tours organized by Urban Architecture. And so we'll have a second step also in June And so we were with, so I have to quote as like Humble, it's an actual office in Ghent, and Katia from Rotterdam, media theorist. And we wanted to kind of answer this question of what is, again, the contemporary architecture in Brussels by looking at how is this contemporary architecture is relating to the fundamentals, daily rituals, the daily life, or how is it making society? And so somehow, like, the fundamental acts from Super Studio were, I mean, obvious because it's a wonderful door that they created. Because with those acts, so that they started, for them it was supposed to be like five movies. And each of the movie was supposed to reconsider the relationship between the human and the environment, and putting a bit like the build form on the side, just a bit. And so, yeah, from those five acts, I'm always mixing them, but you have life, education, ceremony, love, and death. Those were the filters, those are the filters with which we proposed to analyze the city. And we kind of, and the next step, so in June, will be in Mont des Arts, in which five international architects and also five different programs will perform again those fundamental acts by just, yeah. With that, we are trying to say that what Super Studio said is that the shape, the architecture is just a way to, or just the symbol, or just, I don't know, the thing created by our daily rituals. And we have to, I don't know, maybe look at what we are doing as practitioner in another way.
It's interesting for me how maybe also there are similarities between Traum Novella's practice and somehow this fascination with fiction, mm-hmm. and with these speculations, and that the practice of Super Studio, but also, of course, other radical groups from the 1960s and 70s, like Archizum or Hans Hollein or the Metabolists from Japan. So it seems as if we are now maybe also in a certainly difficult time with not only the pandemic, but many other conflicts, whether they are political, racial, economic, etc. But it seems as if these times of dramatic changes are also very fruitful for architects, and maybe fiction is an important element in this. Maybe you can expand on this a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that from our analysis of architectural history, it's very humble, but those moments in which, like, architects don't have clients, they will just start to imagine their clients, and they will just draw and have, like, continue to practice, because I think that architecture is something that you just live and you can't stop dreaming, and you dream, you dream, you dream. On another side, I would say that, I mean, we know that now we are in a time of this crisis, but yeah, on a personal note, I was born in Kinshasa. I flew, so a war started when I was 11 months. Then I traveled also. So I think that, I mean, there is nothing new in this crisis. The world is always in crisis. It's true that we also have to keep in mind that we have more peace now than before, but at the same time that the threat is just bigger and bigger. So I wouldn't say that we are living a special time, just like a time in which it's just more visible here. And still somehow there is a question, there is always a question of the role of the architect. I don't think that we are the first one. I think, like, Hans Hollein, Super Studio, Archizum, they all think a lot about what it could be, but other did too. It's quite funny because if we had to select one architect that won't be going to the Oblivion, because we are three partners with also three different minds, I think that Manuel will definitely pick Hans Hollein, that's for sure. Leon will pick none, but just like a science fiction feminist book. And I will pick Super Studio for sure because.
Well done.
Yeah. No, because they are. I mean, for me, they're just like opening doors in so many ways.
And probably fiction is one of these
absolutely
elements that fascinate you with Super Studio.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of in a provocative way, we love to say that Alice is fiction, as a way to say, Alice is architecture. Because for us, I mean, fictions as we see it, everything is fiction. We have a culture, and especially architecture, like it's a product of a culture. And behind that, we have a story. And the real question is that do we want to believe in that story, or can we maybe create other stories in which we want to believe to? And architecture is really interesting because it's giving shape to a lot of parts of this story, most of the time in a very, very bad way. But the thing is that can we do it otherwise? But in the point that, I mean, the connection that I can definitely find in Super Studio is again in this idea of doubt, but still having like some kind of, they were calling it like progetti, some kind of thesis or story to push it to see how far it goes, what are the consequences. And maybe it's a good one, but it won't be for sure. And for us, somehow everything is fiction.
I think another aspect that seems to me very important is for your practice, but also for many architects, maybe certainly since the beginning of modernism, is the element of exhibition. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, most people would probably argue that architecture is about building, mm-hmm. but of course the practice of an architect is incredibly complex, and what one can see also in the history of modernism is the use of publications, of exhibitions as a tool of thinking. And it's interesting also in your practice, you have been curating the Belgian Pavilion in 2018. And so it seems as if exhibition making or a format like Archi Week, which is also a curatorial practice to a certain extent, that this format, exhibition, is something productive for you. Maybe you can explain a little bit what an exhibition is for you as part of an architectural practice.
Uh-huh. I would say that we are not really making the difference between like, and I mean, we know the benefits of doing an exhibition instead of an office space, but still we are not trying to divide the two, because for us, the most important is an idea or sharing an idea. And we're trying to use, I mean, all the tools that we can use that are either like an exhibition or a publication or like architecture. And maybe that's something that we learned also from Super Studio, this way to using magazines to share ideas and finding this connection. And but still, the benefit and the amazing thing that exhibitions they offer is you can continue on your own fiction without having to deal with others fiction, with others people fictions. When you have a client, you have to deal with it, but it's also super interesting sometimes. It's always interesting, but sometimes it's most interesting. And I mean, both are, it's the same thing. It's about architecture, and but then it's also about to whom you are talking to. We know that when we are building something, we are building it for in an office, so it will be someone maybe outside of this cultural scene. And we know that into the cultural world, we can be a bit more maybe provocative, or to say that okay, we shouldn't build houses, but still for a client, build a house. So it's somehow the space of freedom, which is one of the of the reason why we created the office, just to have this, to create our space of freedom in which we could, yeah, address the issues that we wanted to.
I think in that respect, the maybe exhibitions have always been also tools to somehow invent clients, because you use that word clients, and to invent commissions that were not possible otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess not only because there were no real commissions in terms of real buildings or physical buildings, but I would argue there is also an urgency and necessity
absolutely
for these kind of other commissions, where basically an architect has certainly the potential, or should have the potential, to somehow construct his or her own projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think if I may, I can jump into the Belgian Pavilion as an example. So, the Belgian Pavilion. So we did it. For us, what happened with the Brexit was a shock, and somehow like just a way to show us how, I mean, you and I, we are in this cultural bubble, which is not the world, because around us, no one was believing that that could be possible, like Trump. And so you realize that being an architect or doing an exhibition or talking about architecture, you're addressing like a very, very narrow bubble. But at the same time, choosing this topic of Europe is because we think that our bubble is not involved enough into the construction of this European project. And through exhibitions, depending of where, but most of the time, you can also talk to your bubble. And then hopefully your bubble can continue to address other things. So that's why I think that they are really, really important and as a platform to discuss amongst us.
Many thanks, Johnny, for the conversation. And
thanks,
to be continued.
Thanks.